FM CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real-life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ. Today is Wonderful Wednesday. We're getting through the month of November wonderfully. As I say to everyone, we have to be grateful and say everything is wonderful for the whole month of November. This is Fired Up with CJ. You can find her on her website, firedupwithcj.com, or you can follow her under Facebook, same name, Fired Up with CJ. And there you can get in touch with her or see what she has upcoming on events and things like that. And how are you this wonderful Wednesday?
I'm doing okay. I'm getting excited for Thanksgiving to come, especially since it's not at my house and I'm not cooking anything. I'm just bringing the wine, so I'm very excited about that.
You got to have wine on Thanksgiving.
I know. Hopefully it's going to all come together because it's very nice wine, but it hasn't been received yet.
Oh, it will. Think positive.
I know. I'm crossing my fingers.
Yes, it will happen.
So we have deep gratitude for our guest, Greg Braden, who is here today talking about deep truth. And I read this book about a month ago, and, you know, it's probably the kind of book that you need to digest and marinate for a while, because I read it about a month ago, and I keep on cycling back, thinking about the book and exploring, you know, what was Greg thinking when he was writing the book, and what were his greatest hopes? And I get to ask him. Yay. So we have Greg Braden, and, you know, it's very interesting because I've never thought about questioning the basic assumptions about who we are, how long we've been here, and why the world is falling apart. And these are all topics that he addresses in his new book. So we're going to talk to him this full segment about his book, Deep Truth, as well as talk to him about an event that's happening in Seattle on Saturday. I'll be there on November 16th called Get Your Shift Together. Is that it? Is that right, Greg? Did I name it correctly? Get Your Shift Together? It's a cute name. So welcome, Greg.
CJ, I am so thrilled to be on your program today and with all of our listeners today. I went to your website, and I have to say you have led just such an amazing life. I'd like to interview you for our hour today. I just want to thank you for all the kind words. I am speaking in Seattle, co-presenting with Dr. Joe Dispenza, and I'm actually his guest, and his organization has put the event together. And in all honesty, I wasn't sure exactly what the title was, so I think I just learned.
I'll get your shift together. It's very cute. And I'd interviewed Dr. Joe Dispenza earlier in the month, and he's fantastic. You're going to have a great time. And it's going to be great. The two of you are just like an incredible 1-2 punch, just some incredible. That's not probably the right word for spiritual folks. Is it punch?
Sure, it's a perfect word. It's a perfect word for both of us. I've known Joe for a long time. Our schedules are so very full. In so many different countries, we rarely have the opportunity to present together. And when we do, it's usually not in the United States. So I believe it's the first time we've co-presented in the United States together. And I'm very much looking forward to our day.
So it's this Saturday, November 16th, and it's here in Seattle. And you can get information at gregbraden.com events. So let's talk about your book, The Deep Truth. And tell us about why you wrote it and why it's so important right now for us to know the information in this book.
Well, I'm just going to offer a little context. For our listeners, I'm going to speak directly to our listeners. What I know is that if you're listening to this program today, that you know this is no ordinary time, certainly in the history of our nation, or any nation for that matter, or the world. And it's not just our imagination. The best minds of our time are telling us, in fact, that we're living what they're now calling a time of extremes. And, CG, I find this a fascinating topic and a fascinating title, a time of extremes, it doesn't mean that bad things are happening or even good things for that matter. It means big things, really big things are happening. And the spiritual aspect of these big things is that what we're finding is we can no longer separate the big things in the world from what's happening in our everyday lives, in our families, at our dinner table, or in our own backyards. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about big things, and there are many places in this conversation where one topic could be the entire program, and this is one of those places. They're talking about things like climate change, things like peak energy, like peak oil, like the social change that's happening in so many parts of the world. These are big, big issues,
mm-hmm.
And they're all converging into this small window of time, and without context, for many people, it does seem like the world is simply falling apart at the seams. My little 4 foot, 6 inch tall mom and I have this conversation all the time, and she thinks that the world, from her perspective, is falling apart at the seams. But if we look closely, what we find is the only things that are breaking down are the unsustainable ways of thinking and living that have been perpetuated for about 150 years based upon scientific principles, many of which we now know are simply not true.
Mm-hmm.
So the book Deep Truth, one of the first questions that I'm asked is, Greg, why did you title the book Deep Truth? And some people say, you know, what gives you the right? Isn't it presumptuous to put the word truth in the title of the book? So that's a good place to begin today. It was a statement, part of a statement that was made by Niels Bohr, the Nobel Prize-winning physicist in the middle of the last century, who was a friend and colleague of Albert Einstein. And in a conversation the two of them were having about the nature of truth, and in the case of the conversation, it was scientific truth, he made this statement, and he said, it is the hallmark of any deep truth that its negation is also a deep truth.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I read that, I took a deep breath, and I thought, wow, that is really deep.
Right.
And then I realized what he's saying is that when what we have accepted as the deepest truths of science, and the science that describes our relationship to ourselves, our bodies, one another, our world, our past, the way we solve our problems, when we find that those truths are overturned by new discoveries, peer-reviewed scientific discoveries. So we're not talking about theories or hypotheses, we're talking about scientific facts. Then the new discoveries become the new deep truths.
Mm-hmm.
And when I recognized that, I said, that's got to be the title for this book, because the book identifies a number of scientific principles that we, this generation, we were all steeped in these beliefs on the one hand, and on the other hand, the best science of our time is telling us they're no longer true. And mm-hmm. by the same token, it's this thinking that leads us to solve the problems in our lives, in our relationships, in our world today. And so I felt like it was very important to identify these truths
mm-hmm.
in the book
mm-hmm.
Because of our time of extremes and the fact that we're being asked to solve the problems through the same thinking that led to the problems. It makes no sense to do that.
So what's
a long answer to a short question, but I wanted to kind of lay all that out.
Well, there's just jam-packed with 20 questions in there, but I'll attempt to have only two. so we need to rethink. How would you like us to rethink some of these things? I mean, I know part of what you're saying is that there's the deepest truth is in the scientific truths that we believe, but that you're saying the negation is also true. How do you want us to start thinking? Ideally, what would you want the reader to do when they're reading the book, and how would you like them to rethink some of the problems
that
are facing us?
This is where context, I think, is so important. You know, this information would be interesting at any time in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But when we view these new discoveries within the reality of the world that we're all facing, we are all facing a crisis in a global economy.
Mm-hmm.
Industries are disappearing. Jobs are disappearing. The way we think about money is changing. Currencies are collapsing. We look at climate change that is wreaking havoc. Superstorms that we're told are once in a lifetime are now happening every year.
Mm-hmm.
The price that we pay for our groceries at the market than we put on the table for our families is directly linked to the loss of crops due to drought and, in some cases, floods linked to climate change. So the context is what makes all of this so important. We go about solving the problems of life, and whether it's our personal lives, of our relationships, our jobs, careers, finances, or or whether we're talking about between nations, mm-hmm. as different as those scales of magnitude appear to be, the thinking that solves them is actually very similar. And we go mm-hmm. about solving our problems based upon the way we think of ourselves mm-hmm. and our relationship to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's what is called a pyramid of thinking mm-hmm. that has been developed through the ages, from the Roman times through the Greeks. Every civilization, every culture, every organization, every religious organization, every spiritual organization, there's a pyramid of thinking based upon questions that that organization must answer.
Mm-hmm.
And there are six questions. So I'm going to start at the bottom, the most fundamental question, and I'll quickly identify the questions, what the old thinking has led us to believe, and what the new discoveries are telling us. And then with that, we can follow on for the rest of the program wherever we'd like
okay.
to go. Are you okay if I do it that way, CJ?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So the fundamental question at the bottom of our pyramid of thinking, if our listeners can envision an upside-down pyramid, so the point is at the bottom, and the most fundamental question is, where does life itself come from?
Mm-hmm.
The second question, where does human life come from? Because some of the evidence suggests that they may not have the same answer for both questions. The third question is, what is our relationship to our bodies? Fourth question, what is our relationship to the world beyond our bodies? Fifth question, what is our relationship to the past? Excuse me. And the sixth question is how do we go about solving our problems when the going gets tough?
Mm-hmm.
For 150 years, since the time of Darwin, essentially, we've been steeped in a story of separation. And the separation has led us to believe that the origin of life is completely random, the origin of human life is random, that we are separate and powerless when it comes to influencing our own bodies, that we're separate and disconnected and thus powerless when it comes to our relationship to the world around us. We've been led to believe that civilization is linear. It's essentially a one-time deal. It began about 5,000 years ago, and we're sitting here at the pinnacle, at the top of the most sophisticated technological civilization that's ever existed. And we've been led to believe that nature is based upon this fundamental rule that Darwin himself called survival of the strongest. And it's led us to believe that competition and conflict is the way that we go about solving our problems, that this is the fundamental rule of nature. So this story of separation has been at the foundation of our lives, our society, our civilization. And people ask me all the time, CJ, it's interesting, and it's a good question. They say, you know, Greg, you know, we got it. Maybe science didn't get it completely right, you know, over the last 150 years. Darwin was 1859. Here we are in the 21st century. What difference does it make? You know, what difference could these things possibly make in our lives today? And it's a good question. And so many people are surprised by the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is that the foundation of our modern society and the way that the economy of the world works, the way the corporations work, the way that we solve our problems is based upon thinking that that was developed in late 1800s and early 1900s, precisely when these scientific principles were offered. They weren't really questioned to any degree. They were embraced quickly. They became deeply entrenched into our lives and our world, in some ways, CJ, even on subconscious levels. But if
mm-hmm.
we look at the things that are breaking, what my mom would say that are the things that are falling apart, the economic system of the world that is now buckling and collapsing in many places is based upon this idea of survival of the strongest. The way corporations have been implemented in our lives, the way that we share shrinking supplies of disappearing resources between individuals and even between nations, the way we solve our problems, the Middle East is on everyone's mind right now. All of these are based in this idea of survival of the strongest. This is Darwin's own language.
All right, we're going to tackle a lot of these, the why we aren't separate and why it's important to shift our thinking around some of these thoughts that have been around forever, like you said, the 1800s to 1900s. So, folks, make sure to get the book Deep Truth that we were talking about and make sure to sign up for Greg's class on November 16th at gregbraden.com and join to his event section. We'll be right back.